D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you inside Bridgestone Arena. A big one tonight for the Predators, looking for their fifth consecutive win against the San Jose Sharks. Puck drop at 7, pregame at 6, right here on 102.5 The Game. And joining us, as he does every Tuesday, Predators GM Barry Trotz. Hi, Barry. How are you?
I'm doing well.
I know that you wanted to start the interview by paying respect to longtime amateur scout David Westby, who passed last week.
Yes. Unfortunately, in the Nashville Predator family, especially in the scouting portion of the NHL and the Nashville Predators, longtime scout Dave Westby has passed away suddenly with a very quick bout of cancer. Very aggressive, caught everybody off guard, especially in our staff. And, you know, this year has been a really tough year with respect to members of the Predator family with a lot of passing. So just a shout out to Dave's family and anybody who knows Dave Westby is better for it, because he's one of those unique individuals that you just love. He's loved throughout the scouting industry and in the Preds family.
So let's talk about the team on the ice. 4 wins in a row, a season-high winning streak. 5 of 8 wins since the trade deadline, points in 6 of 8. When you made the moves that you did leading up to the deadline, and you traded away 4 key role players, 4 beloved teammates in that dressing room, how did you expect the remaining players to respond?
Well, I just knowing the character of this group and how close this group is, I expected that they would be professional. They would go out and do their best, and they would help the young guys who we brought in up from Milwaukee to help supplement, and they've done exactly that. They've stepped it up even more so, and we ask a lot of our veteran players, very proud of them because they are professional through and through, and put us in a position where, you know, we'll see where it goes. We got 12 games to go. We sort of have it in our own hands, and we've been fortunate with, you win games different ways. You can win it 5-on-5. You can win on special teams. Goaltenders can steal you a game. We've done a little bit of all of it. Lately, it's been our special teams and our goaltending, and our 5-on-5 play hasn't been very, very strong in certain areas of the game. So at other times, in the second and third period, it's been very good. So just getting a complete game, I look back at we were at the 20-game mark. I think it was in early December. We were 32nd in the league. We were 6 games under 500, and now we're 5 games over 500. So, the guys have done a really good job. This is the biggest winning streak of the year. I don't think we've won more than 2 or 3 games at a time. So the guys have just grinded, and that's sort of the Predator way. We pride ourselves on giving as much effort as we can, max effort, and we're going to have to raise it even more down the last 12 games. We got obviously San Jose tonight. We got them 3 times here. They're behind us a little bit, but they're still in striking distance from us, and we got LA Kings who are right next to. So every game is so important, but you just can't look past one game, and you just got to take it one game at a time, is the old cliche. But the guys have taken on. Let's win the week. So it's a new week. Let's see what we can do.
Matthew Wood has played the past 9 games at center. He's got 6 points in those games. He seems to be developing chemistry with Philip Forsberg. How surprised are you by how quickly it appears that Wood has taken to being a top 6 center in the NHL?
I think everybody's a little bit surprised. The one guy that may not be surprised is Matthew himself. He has played center. I think Bruno is giving him that opportunity, and that's what sometimes when you move a piece, you get set in a way, I don't think he can do it, or we don't know. But we didn't have any choice. And sometimes when you don't have any choice, you find out some good blessings. Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. But Matthew has played center, and I think the big thing is he's embraced it. more than anything. And then you just see Philip and Jonathan have both sort of said, hey, we got a young guy, let's help him out. And they have. And, you know, they've scored some big goals and helping Matthew along. So that's what putting this roster together, you know, even a couple of years ago, and it didn't go as well as we wanted it. This was the thought process of getting some older guys and there's some young guys. And now we've got 5-6 rookies in our lineup right now, which any team that's in a playoff position, I don't think you're going to find another team that has five rookies in their lineup.
On the GM search, Barry, it sounds like the organization has cast a wide net. How far along are you in the process, and how would you describe the range of candidates you and the rest of the search committee have spoken to?
Well, I'm not going to go too deep in it. Number one is there's a vast net. We in the next couple weeks here are going to make that net a little smaller, so at this point I'm not. It's probably, I don't have a whole lot of information other than they've casted a wide net, and there's still candidates reaching out and saying, hey, I want to be part of the process. So just when you think you're getting the net brought in a little bit, there's always another candidate coming in. So I think we're pretty well at the borders of how far the net's going to go, and then we'll get it a little smaller, and then hopefully we'll have an update. Well, you'll hear rumors, I think, in the next couple of weeks of different things, but we're not that close yet.
Barry Trotz is with us, Predators GM. Big game with the San Jose Sharks tonight. Just to go a little further, you mentioned Matt Wood. You've got a couple other guys who have jumped in there to play every night since the trade deadline, young players who you've been developing for a while. We've seen Fedor Svechkov, but he came back, and he looks like he's playing better. And then Zach LaRue, and both guys signed new contracts. So tell us about those two guys, what went into the decision to extend them, and what are you seeing from their play?
Well, I think number one, when you decide to make a commitment to a young player, you have to feel confident that they've taken the step. They're about to. And I think I'll just go with Zach, for instance. Zach finished last year, came into training camp, got injured, was in and out, went to Milwaukee, and I think he went down with the right attitude. He went down there and was the consistently probably their best player, and what he's really worked on is the strength of his game is really good wall play. He's got a really good hockey IQ. Penalty killing, he's been excellent because I think he reads the play really well. He's got a good instinct for that, and he's worked a little bit on his skating and that maturity level and getting all the important minutes. He's come up and he's earned it. I mean, he's earned a good role. He's now, first or second over the boards, usually with one of our centers, either Holla or O'Reilly in penalty kill. So, what a great experience for him. But at the same time, he's earned it, and he's done it a little bit of the hard way. And I don't think he's going to take it for granted. Sometimes guys come up and they never go back down. They don't have to fight their way back, and they lose a little bit of that. I'll say that drive or that want, and Zach didn't, and he kept it, and I think it's made him a better player. And just watching him play, we just felt, hey, this is a player that we can commit to and move forward with. And with Svetch, I think earlier in the year he was up and struggling a little bit. We were just so thin at center ice that really felt that probably had him up here a little bit too long. But we were just so thin at the center ice position, and once we got him down there, probably would love to have had him down there for another week or two, because he was really starting to come, and then he came back and he's been playing much better, just more confident. I just think stronger. He doesn't look like he's got a whole lot of weight on his shoulders.
And not pressing as much, maybe.
Not pressing, and I think he realized that, hey, I still can produce offensively. My overall game is pretty good. And I think there's a little more trust with the coaching staff as well. And all those things, we just felt that the Svetch is going to be part of the future. So we felt really strongly we could commit to him. So that's the process we want to get into is – making sure that our young guys are that the guys that we're committing to are the guys going to be here going forward for the next couple of years, and hopefully for the next, you know, 15 years, if possible. And we have to be very careful of that because of the fact that, you know, the cupboards got a little bare. We filled the cupboards up, and now we got all these prospects coming. Any of you handing out contracts like candy, we won't have enough contracts for the guys coming in. So we have to be pretty sure, and I think these guys have earned it. So really happy about both how they handled their different journeys to get to where we are right now. And now they're playing meaningful games in a playoff race, and there's not a better development tool. There's no coach in the world. Nothing can develop your players better than hard, meaningful games in a playoff race.
I find myself admiring the leadership group time and time again through this, the struggles and the adversity. For example, Adam just made reference to Philip Forsberg seems to be really taking to Matt Wood. Jonathan Marchessault taking to Matt Wood. And when you made the trades, I feel like there was a moment of, hey, you know, we just lost some
really
good,
really
emotional
good
leaders, right? Emotional, yeah. But that leadership group just pivoted over to these young guys and have sort of embraced them and tried to help bring them along. That's just a really good statement about what they're made of.
Yeah, absolutely. You said it precisely. Is those guys are professionals. They're winners. They're guys that understand what it takes. And we've ridden our veteran players a lot this year. I mean, Roman Josi and Forsberg and O'Reilly and all that. And a good example is the Chicago game. You know, you look at the body of work this last week. We won three in a row. We were on a long road trip. We had a big game in Winnipeg, a playoff style game. It was. I watched that from Florida, and that was a great game to watch as a fan, as a general manager. It was intense. It was everything you want to see this time of year. And then we flew back the next day, had an afternoon game the next day, and then back-to-back. And I can tell you, guys were on a little bit of fumes, but they battled through it in the Vegas game. Vegas came out humming. They knew that, and we were getting outstanding goaltending and actually strong commitment. We didn't have the puck a lot, but we were in the lanes. We were battling. We were finding ways to just get in the way. Until we got our legs under us, and then we were able to get it in the second, third, and pull away. And then I thought we were on absolute fumes in Chicago, and we got a great goaltending effort again, second night in a row. And as the game went on, a guy like Phillip came in big. Stammer scored a big goal. That whole line of Forsberg, Marchessault, and Wood had that beautiful goal. And we trailed in that game the whole time. So mentally, that's really tough. But they fought through it. They just grinded through it. And that's a quality that is hard to come by in this game. And I think we've had a lot of practice at it because we've started every game down two, it seemed like, for a while, and fought back and got ourselves points one way or the other. So this group has been very resilient. I can't tell you how it's going to play out from now to the end, but this group has gone from, you know, the depths of being six games under 500 to being five games over 500 in a span. And they didn't do it with a big winning streak. They did it with consistently grinding through games, finding ways to get a point or 2 points. And when they've got it handed to them, they you know, got off the floor, dusted themselves off, and said, okay, well, it's a new day, let's get it done. And they've stayed to the winning week.
Let's talk about San Jose for a second. They've got a lot of good young players, but Macklin Celebrini is different than just about all of them. So everybody dreams of having a guy like that. Why is he so different? We're going to see him for the first time live tonight.
Well, I think it's just like when you first saw Sidney Crosby. I mean, they just move different. They see the ice at a different speed. They, you know, the next generation always moves different than the previous one. He just does. He moves with such ease, plays the game with such ease, but he does it at a very high pace, and he does it with, seems effortless at times. And his overall game is exceptional. It's You know, you think of how old he is, and you say, okay, what, you know, he probably is not good without the puck. No, he's really good without the puck. You know, maybe he can't create enough offense. He can create a ton of offense. There's a lot of things that he does at a young age that is very, very mature, and it's actually, as a hockey purist, you just love watching this young player. He's the best young player on the planet, plain and simple for me.
Following up on that, Barry, I was actually surprised when I saw this earlier today. If you look at the average ages of the Predators roster and the Sharks roster right now, it's roughly the same. You would think it wouldn't be, because a lot of the Predators core players are older, and the Sharks core players, including Macklin Celebrini, are, in his case, 19 years old or in their early 20s. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious about your thoughts on how the Sharks have gone about building their roster, because they have taken a different path than you have with this roster.
Yeah, they bought them out for, I mean, they're 5 years ahead of us, and they hit on a exceptional draft. You don't get Macklin Celebrini if you don't get the first overall pick in his draft year. You don't get a Schaefer in that draft year. You get someone else. And these are rare players, and they hit on it. And they've been working at it for 5 or 6 years. So they should be ahead of us. If you're asking me, you know, our roster, we're building it through, you know, a number of draft choices. We've never hit on a number one overall pick. So you look at the rosters. If you look at the both ways you can do it, there's no guarantee that you're getting the first overall pick. I mean, there isn't. We saw that Detroit for years had a couple years where they should have probably had the first overall pick, but there's a draft lottery. They didn't get it, and they missed out on some players. So. But you have to deal with what you have. Our franchise hasn't gone to first overall. Even when we've tried, we can't seem to get there. Which is a great quality that we do have, is that we don't accept, you know, the losing. It's not acceptable. Even 2 years ago when we burnt it down, and I thought, well, we're going to dive pretty good. We're going to have a good shot at first overall. And we almost made the playoffs. And it wasn't with adding a bunch of players. It was actually just going to kids. You know, I thought our team could spin the other way this year and go down. We're not very deep. You know, we've been fortunate with some health. But we haven't. We've been resilient. I mean, there's some other teams that you look at their rosters and they're going to pick in the top three probably. And you look at their rosters and you go, it doesn't make any sense. But it tells you that we've got good character people and we'll keep developing. You know, if we end up in a position to take a Macklin Celebrini, trust me, we're going to do that. We just haven't had an opportunity.
Last one for you, Barry. A general question about the state of the NHL. Are you as surprised as a lot of people are by the disparity in the Eastern Conference versus the Western Conference? There are teams that are in a playoff spot. I think Anaheim, for example, is leading the Pacific Division. Their point total wouldn't be good enough for a playoff spot in the Eastern Conference. Can you recall a time where there seemed to be that much of a disparity in the overall play of the particular conferences?
Well, I think there was a year or two when I first started that there was some disparity that I can remember. But I also look at when you have three or four teams that are as dominant in the Central Division as they have been, you start, you know, you play them, you know, those three teams 8 times a year. You're probably -6 to start because you might get one game out of them. And so you're -6. So that takes 12 points out of your total. So, but I just think from the standpoint is I think there's probably a little bit of more parity in the East. I don't think the East is any stronger than the West. I actually think the West is stronger, but there's certain teams that you play a little bit more and you haven't got quite the point totals that you probably want. But at the end of the day, you're going to look at the team that wins the President's Trophy this year. Maybe this might be a year that doesn't happen. But most years, when a team that wins the President's Trophy is, and you take the team that's eighth place in their conference, it's usually only about eight or nine wins. And that's one win a month, which doesn't seem like a lot, but over nine months, it's nine games. And that's where the 18 or 20 points comes in. So it's a little strange, but I wouldn't read into it. I mean, I'll take our eighth place team in our conference. If we're in the eighth spot right now, we play the eighth place team in the other conference, where I think they're pretty even.
Predators GM Barry Trotz has been our guest on D-Mates Vingan and Donick. He joins us every Tuesday during hockey season. Barry, as always, thank you so much for your time. Enjoy the game tonight, and good luck.
Thank you. And I just reach out to our fans. You've been great. A good example of that was the Vegas game. When we were sort of looked like we were hanging on fumes, you guys rallied around us, and we're going to need everything down the stretch here. So our fans have been great. And, you know, we talk about the seventh man. We need the seventh man down the stretch here.
615-737-1025. Your reaction to what Barry had to say. We will react as well. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.